Welcome to Middle Ground Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Join us today as we continue studying verse by verse through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Nate Gallagher in a series called Crash Course.
But how do you know if you're a babe in Christ? First thing, babies sleep, right? That's pretty much like one of the only things they're good at, sleeping and eating, like, and then going to the bathroom. Like, that's like it. That's what babies have. Immature Christians sleepwalk through their faith. Immature Christians sleepwalk through their faith. They aren't looking for opportunities. They go through the motions. They wake up, they go to church, maybe they read their Bible, they get it through like a checklist, they go to work, they do their thing, they go to school. They're not looking for opportunities to show the love of Christ and progress in their relationship with God. They're sleepwalking through life. You ever done that? You ever been awake, but you weren't really awake, like kind of like you are right now? Like, you're like, I'm awake, I'm here, but I'm not here. Like, you're going to go home after church, you're going to take a nap, you're going to wake up and be like, did we do something this morning? I feel like, what happened this morning? Like, they're sleepwalking through life, and so many Christians live like this. They sleepwalk through their faith. They aren't looking for opportunities to be used by God. They aren't growing in their relationship with God. They're not progressing as they seek to follow him. And so we have to make sure, are we sleeping or are we walking with God? Romans chapter 13, verse 11, he says, and do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the work of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. He said, it's time to wake up. It is time for us to wake up and follow God. And so many people sleepwalk through their relationship with God. They aren't looking for opportunities. They aren't looking to invest in people. They aren't growing in their understanding of God. Babies sleep. The second thing, babies are dependent upon people, right? Babies, they're helpless. They're defenseless. They can't do anything on their own. Everything that is done for a baby has to be done by somebody else. And immature Christians don't have their own faith. Immature Christians, they're here because they have to be. They believe in God because their parents believed in God. They have no understanding or relationship with God for themselves. They're completely dependent upon other people. And I would say they're completely dependent upon their circumstances. Immature Christians, they don't have faith despite what they're going through. They only have faith when their day is good. You ever met somebody like that? Like, oh yeah, God is great. Why? Well, I'm having a great day. And the next day, like, man, God is terrible. Why? Well, it's overcast, and it's sad, and it's a miserable day, and so God must not be good. And their circumstances determine their faith. Listen, mature Christians have faith in God regardless of other people, and have faith in God regardless of their situations. But babes in Christ are dependent upon other people. Their relationship with God is dependent upon other people. Thirdly, babies are fussy, right? Babies cry all the time. You always hear them like, and you're like, oh my gosh. Babies are fussy. And the reality is babes in Christ are fussy. What I mean by that is immature Christians complain about everything. Immature Christians, their life is too hard. Man, if God really loved me, he wouldn't make me deal with this. It's too hard. It's too difficult. Immature Christians, they complain because God isn't answering their prayers when they want him to. Man, I've been praying for like a whole week for this, and God hasn't answered it. I can't believe he doesn't love me anymore. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't want what's best for me. He doesn't want to bless my life. They complain about their situations. They complain that the world is too evil. You met those type of Christians? Like, don't go outside. It's scary, and it's bad out there. And oh my gosh, yeah, we just need to hunker down, bomb shelter Christians. Like, homeschool and make sure we never see outside. And if you're homeschooled, no offense, I was homeschooled too. Anyways, but right, it's always something to be afraid of. We come to church and the music is too loud, or they're not playing the song we like, or how come he has to preach on that message? Why can't he talk about this? Why? And there's always something to complain about. Immature Christians are fussy. Spiritually mature Christians, they're always looking for opportunity, and they're always seeing the good in everything that they experience. Man, my life is hard, but God is good. Man, who cares about the song, God's still worthy of my worship? Who cares about my situation? Who cares? God is still good. Babes, they fuss. Mature Christians are looking for good and no matter what they experience. The key to spiritual maturity is God's word active in our life. It's our understanding and applications of God's word, and we will mature as we do those things, and we'll grow up from spiritual immaturity into the things God wants us to do. So we need to act our age. The author goes on, jump down to chapter 6 with me. He says, because they're spiritual babies, he gives them some things that they need to do in order to progress. He says, therefore, leaving this discussion, now brace yourselves. We're about to read one of the most controversial and confusing passages in all of the Bible. You ready for it? Cool. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. He says, let us leave behind the elementary principles of Christ. Time. Pause. Let's leave behind Christ? No, let's not do that. You're not going to progress if you go without God. Like, that doesn't even make any sense. He says, let's leave behind the elementary principles of Christ. Like, no, let's not do that. I don't want to go a day without Christ in my life. I will fail miserably. What he's talking about is simply salvation. What he's saying is you are still stuck on salvation when you should be in the process of sanctification. You're still in the beginning stages of your relationship with God. Jesus saves you. Absolutely. Belief on Jesus, you are made right with God. But once that happens, you shouldn't stay in salvation. You should move into sanctification. You should be growing in your relationship with God. And he says, listen, let's move on past that. You've understood salvation. You recognized you're a sinner. You've believed on Jesus. You're saved. You've got it. But let's begin to move forward into the other things that God has for us. Let's grow. Let's progress in our relationship with God. So he's not saying, forget about Christ. You got it. He's saying, no. With Christ, keep moving forward. He says, let's stop talking about salvation and start working towards sanctification. And he says, and this we will do if God permits. Verse 4. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift. This is where it gets really confusing. Tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Time out again. He says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, meaning it is impossible for those who once believed in Jesus, once made themselves right with God by placing faith in Jesus through the cross. He says it is impossible for those persons, once they've been enlightened, if they fall away, basically what he's saying, if they backslide, it is impossible for them to come back. Okay, now, this is where it gets really confusing, and we're not going to go into too much depth because I read like a ton of books and nobody really knows for sure. And really the word that really confuses them is the word impossible. Some people say, well, it's impossible with man and all things are possible with God. It's like, yeah, that's absolutely true, but I don't think that's what he means here. Other people think, well, maybe he doesn't really mean impossible. Maybe think sometime. Because the question is we know people, right, that have once placed faith in God, that backslid, they stopped walking with God, and then they've come back to God, right? We know people like that. I've got friends that are like that. That if you were here a few weeks ago on a Thursday night, my friend Paul shared, and he talked about how he went to youth group, he had some level of relationship with God, and then he didn't. And then he came back to God. And so he says, impossible, like what does that exactly mean? I believe what he's talking about here is if somebody has truly placed faith in Jesus. Because if somebody were to say they've placed faith in Jesus and then backslide and never come back, the question is, did they really have faith to begin with? Because if they truly had faith to begin with, then they would ultimately, hopefully, they would come back to God. But the big sort of, the thing that I want us to take away from this is you can have a relationship with God right now, or think you do, and you can backslide, and you may never have another opportunity or never have another moment to come back to your relationship with God. So many people think, I'll get serious with God when I'm older. So many people think, one day, do you know what? I'm young, I've got things to do. One day I'll get real serious with God. Here's the thing, you may never have that moment. The Holy Spirit may never prompt you to come back. You can say no to God so many times that it makes it impossible for you to say yes. And so the reality is if God is speaking to you now and you have a desire to have a relationship with God, you need to capitalize on that, because you may look back 20 years from now and never have the same experience that you're having right now. And he's warning us, really, that if you have a relationship with God, don't leave, because you may never come back. I've seen that happen over and over. People that have had relationship with God and they backslide and they don't come back. And they live their whole life apart from their relationship with God. And he says, it is impossible for those that have once had a relationship with God to come back, because there's this reality of you may never have the prompting of the Spirit again. That was a side note, not part of my message. Keep moving. Verse 7. He says, verse 7. For the earth, which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He tells us to leave behind the elementary principles and move on into perfection, is what he said in verse 1 there. He says, let us go on to perfection. That word perfection, it means maturity. He says, as you grow, you should leave behind immaturity and progress into maturity. And he gives us a couple ways to do that. First thought from chapter 6 is allow God to work. Allow God to work. He says in verse 3, and this we will do if God permits. We will progress in our relationship with God if God permits. Spiritual maturity will happen if God permits. Now let me ask you something. Does God want you to grow in your relationship with him? I would say that's a big yes. Like, duh, God wants us to grow in our relationship with him. And so he says, you will progress if God permits. The reality is God wants you to progress in your relationship with him. He wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That God absolutely wants to take you from spiritual immaturity to spiritual maturity. That God will work in you. That spiritual growth is a spiritual thing. That makes sense, right? Because it's impossible or near impossible to measure spiritual growth, right? I've said this before, but it's not like at home where you can mark the way you've grown. You ever had a wall like that in your house where you see your measurements of how you've grown? You compare it to your little sister or whatever, and you're like, look, I'm taller than you. And you're like, well, yeah, it's your little sister, so congratulations. Anyways, you compare, but there's no way to really measure spiritual growth. And spiritual growth is a result of God working in us. That he says that God will work in you. And this we will do if God permits us. Of course God wants to work in us. Of course he wants to cause us to grow. And so one of the key things for us to go from spiritual immaturity to maturity is to allow God to work in you. What does that mean? As God directs your life, as God points things out in your life, as God communicates to you through his word, you got to listen. If you want to allow God to spiritually grow you, as God speaks to you through his word, as he convicts you of sin, as he directs things in your life, you need to listen. If you don't listen, you won't grow. But as we listen to God's word, as we listen to his voice, that is when God is working in us and we can grow spiritually in our relationship with God. So second thing, we got to allow God to work. Third thing, abide so you produce. Abide, so you produce. The author brings up the idea of the earth and how it, when it receives rain, it produces the proper things. It's almost random. Verse 7, he says, for the earth, which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. Almost randomly, he brings up this idea of the earth and the way like the rain cycle works. Like, really, that's what he brings up. It's like, oh, okay. But then he goes on to verse 9. He says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, the things that accompany salvation. The things that accompany salvation. What he wants us to do is produce things in our lives. He wants our lives to produce fruit that is a result of our relationship with God. As you grow in your relationship with God, your life should look more like it. As you progress in your relationship with God, there should be things in your life that show that you're progressing in your relationship with God. And there should be things in our life that show that we're growing. Things like the love of God, joy in our relationship with God, peace, patience, faithfulness, right? The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And he gives us these things that are supposed to be produced in our life. That as we walk with God, we should have love for God and love for people. As we walk with God, we should have joy in the midst of difficulty. As we walk with God, we should have peace within our soul, knowing that we're right with God. As we walk with God, we should have patience with the people around us. As we walk with God, we should remain faithful to Him. These are things that are produced in our life. Now, how does that happen? It happens by abiding in Jesus. He says the way that trees and plants and all these things produce fruit is by them being planted, abiding where they're supposed to be, receiving what they're supposed to receive, and ultimately producing what they're supposed to produce. Jesus said this, John chapter 15, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. He says, in order for you to progress in a spiritual maturity, you need to abide in Jesus, meaning remain with Jesus, have personal relationship with him. And as you receive what he wants to give you, your life will begin to produce what he wants you to produce. And these will ultimately lead to the works that accompany salvation, like he said in verse 9. The works that accompany salvation aren't to make you right with God. You're already made right with God. The works that accompany salvation are a result of salvation. I've believed in God. I have faith in Jesus Christ. And so my life is beginning to produce the things that my life is supposed to produce. Does that make sense? So we need to make sure that we're abiding so we produce. Fourth thing, we're almost done. Always remain diligent. Always remain diligent. Verse 11 of chapter 6, he says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. I like that word, sluggish. I think it's a great word to describe modern day Christians. Sluggish. I'll get to evangelism eventually. Yeah, I'll read my Bible tonight. I'll read it tomorrow morning. I'll read it tonight. Right? It's like, we're sluggish. We'll get to it eventually. It's such a great, he says, you, if you want to progress, if you want to spiritually mature in your relationship with God, you got to remain diligent. Don't become sluggish. There's a tendency for people to slow down as they walk with God, that they almost get to a point where they feel like, oh, do you know what? This is pretty comfortable. I kind of like it here. Like, things are pretty good. Like, I'm not in any uncomfortable situations. Like, my life is seemingly nice and easy. No persecution, no difficulty. Like, this is comfortable here. I've grown. You know, I'm not really feeling convicted anymore. Like, this is a nice place to be. Listen, don't become sluggish. As soon as you become sluggish, the enemy is going to attack and cause you to drift away. Remember we talked about drifting away a while ago? That drifting away is something that we just get our target off a little bit and we think we're fine, we think we're good, and ultimately we arrive somewhere we don't want to be at. He says, don't become sluggish, but instead we need to remain diligent. Diligent means earnestness in accomplishing. Earnest meaning there is a goal for us and we want to see that goal met. We want to make it there. We have a goal and we're going towards that goal. We've got to remain You're diligent. Don't get sluggish. Don't get distracted. Don't get comfortable. Keep moving forward. The goal is Jesus, and we got to press on towards him. Finally, we need to allow influence. Allow influence. He says in verse 12 that you don't become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Imitate those that through faith and patience inherit the promise. Imitate. Look towards those people that have gone before you, that have walked with God and have inherited the promises of God. Look to those people that have accomplished what God wanted them to accomplish. They've produced fruit in their life. They've grown in their relationship with God. They haven't become sluggish. They remain diligent. He says, look to those. Have people around you that are going to encourage you in your walk with God. This is the second time he's brought up this idea, and he brings it up more times as we go through the book of Hebrews, of the importance of having godly people around you that are going to allow you to grow. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's called the Hall of Faith. And it's every single person that has gone before that have produced something in their life as they walked with God. He's going to go all the way back to Abraham. And he's going to talk about how he remained faithful to God. He's going to talk about Moses. He's going to talk about all these different characters. And he says, look to these guys. They inherited the promises. They remain faithful. And he says to us, have people in your life that cause you to remain faithful to God, that encourage you in your walk with God. And he says that they inherited the promise, and he tells us two ways that they did it. He says that first, he says, but imitate those who through faith inherited the promise. Faith means trusting in God and his plans. Trusting in God and his plans. Saying, God, I am believing in you, and I trust that what you're doing is the right thing. God, I don't understand this. I don't see the end. But the Bible says that God sees the end from the beginning. So I'm trusting in his plans. I have faith in God. He says they've received the promises because they had faith, a trust, an understanding of who God is, a trust in what he said he's going to do. And because they trusted in God, they were able to see the promises. He also says that through patience. This is trusting in God and his timing. Trusting in God and his plans, whatever God you're doing is right. Patience is trusting in God and his timing. We are horrible at patience, right? We're like we're like the microwave culture, where it's like we can have it immediately. Why put it in the oven, which could take an hour, when I could stick it in the microwave and have it in 2 minutes? And even 2 minutes at times is like, we have to stop it early, pretend we're defusing a bomb, because we don't want to wait the whole 2 minutes. Like that's our culture. That's our reality. We don't want to wait. And he says, if you want to receive the promises of God, if you want to mature in your relationship with God, prepare to be patient. Prepare to trust in God and wait on his timing. Waiting on what he's doing, allowing him to work, and recognizing that what he's doing and when he does it is in his control. And when we come to a place that we can trust in God and we can have patience in his process, we will progress in what God has for us. We got to make sure that we have people around us that are following God and that will allow us to continue to move forward. And we need to have faith in God's plans and patience in God's timing. And the author is warning us in this section of for us to grow spiritually, that there's a peril of not progressing. We don't want to stay the same. We don't want to look at you 20 years from now and think that guy is behaving the same way as he behaved when he was in youth group. Spiritually speaking. Yeah, like maybe you've got like a fancy collar on, and maybe you got a briefcase, or maybe you got a job, maybe you're doing something, but spiritually, are you progressing in your relationship with God? Don't stay the same. Don't be a babe in Christ. Don't sleepwalk through your Christian life. Don't whine about everything. Don't get distracted. Whatever it is, make sure we're progressing in our relationship with God. And we do that by acting our age, by allowing God to work, by abiding in Jesus, by always remaining diligent, and allowing people around us to influence us into the things of Jesus.
Thanks again for tuning in to Middle Ground Radio. We'd really love to connect with you, and so for this series, we will be having a special giveaway. Here's Nate with more information.
We are so thankful that you're listening to Middle Ground Radio. We would love to connect with you. For the remainder of this series, we're going to be doing a giveaway. All you have to do is visit us at middlegroundradio.com and press the contact button. Send us an email with your name and address. Or you can follow us on Instagram at middlegroundradio and direct message us your address. We will be sending you a free CD from The Factory Worship, which is an album that our church produced, and we'll also be sending a Middle Ground Radio sticker. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless. And we sing glory,
glory in the high. You've been listening to Middle Ground Radio. Thanks again for tuning in. We pray that this message has been a blessing to you and your relationship with Christ. If you would like to hear more from Pastor Nate, check him out online at middlegroundradio.com or follow him on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher. Have a blessed week, and we hope to see you next time here on Middle Ground Radio.